Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Saturday, it's match day. I'm in on board with a bunch of friends. One of them's Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hi there, Russell.
Russell? Another one is Courtney. Hello, Courtney.
Hello, Jane.
No, I'm not Jane.
Sorry, hello, Russell.
That's an in-joke. Sorry, folks. Okay, right, so we're pre-match. We're going to go in about 15 minutes from this delightful establishment. But before we do and get into the rest of our match day special stuff, let's have a quick rant, shall we, Alan? Man City last week. I went through it kind of more forensically last week, but neutrally. Now it's time to rant to get a motive. But I'll let you have first dibs on it. The Man City game. Talk it through.
I'm fuming.
I'm fuming as well. Boo. Fucking boo. Boo?
Fucking boo.
Listen, I back in the 70s, there was a movie called Rollerball.
And
to me, it's the reason why I'm fuming for two reasons. One is the fact that Haaland was allowed to do what he did, but secondly, because of the way the media seemed to kind of love the fact that he did what he did to score the goal. So, you know, I'm looking at Haaland, and he's an exoskeleton android, basically. And really, if you look at the way he went for Red Webster, he actually looked at Webster and he pushed him away with his arms. There was absolutely no, there was definitely 100% a foul. I really do not understand. I'm more angry by the fact that the media, the pundits, seem to love it and they just want it to happen.
Yeah.
So
they've accepted it as given that was fine.
So move the clock forward 1, 2, 3 years. Are we saying that now football is going to evolve into this kind of rollerball type
No,
situation?
It depends on the team, Alan.
Yeah,
we can't do that.
But if he's allowed to do that, then our Premier League sides, or the top of the Premier League sides, are going to try and get their young players to become this kind of athletic android exoskeleton type players. Are they going to start wearing
Terminator?
You know, wearing you know, collars and jagged armour on their arms to knock their players. I really don't understand.
Let's get back to basics here. The decent media reported the game pretty fairly, by and large. I didn't read all of it, but it seemed like there was a measured approach to how the game panned out, what decisions were good, what decisions were bad. The pundits, and I've had a go at them before, and I'm really going to fucking have a go at them now. The pundits are a disgrace. They do not call it as it is. He fouled him. He put him on his arse, essentially. Well, he put him on his chest. The same difference. And it was given as you said, matter-of-factly, oh yeah, he just used his strength. He was clever. He was strong. It was a long ball forward. He was quick to it. All of the stuff we've seen Haaland is good at. But the fact of the matter is, if you've got a player in the way, in this case Webster, if he had gone in and met him more forcefully, he would have got the penalty or free kick or wherever it was.
Yeah.
In the position on the pitch.
I think the only sport that I can think of off the top of my head that is similar to is maybe ice hockey, where you know part of the game is actually you know a player will
battering
knock,
the shit
yeah,
out.
They,
someone,
they
yeah.
will knock some yeah. a player off the ball yeah. to free the ball up for somebody else to get the ball. So that's basically yeah. what it's like. So that was one issue. The first penalty, the penalty that wasn't given, is one of those situations where you could say, well, okay, it's if the ref had given it, you would have accepted it, but when you looked at it, it could maybe gone the other way.
Yeah.
No way should it have gone to VAR. It wasn't necessarily.
It wasn't clear and obvious.
It wasn't clear and obvious.
Absolutely. So that, I think I suspect it may have been a foul, but it wasn't clear and obvious.
So you had that first one. Then you had the Haaland incident, which we talked about. The third, the other penalty, for me, was not a penalty.
It's a joke. That's an absolute joke.
And
isn't it?
The thing that annoys me about it is that the referee, Paulson, had decided it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah.
And for Mason to look at it in slow motion and to conclude that it possibly could be a penalty and take it to the referee, that was the wrong thing.
Yeah. They took ages to decide the wrong thing.
Yes.
That is a fatal flaw in VAR,
yes.
in my opinion. It's a fatal flaw with Lee Mason, who's a dickhead,
yep.
and is an enemy of Brighton. Let's be honest on it. He's an idiot. His career is over in terms of refereeing because he fucked up the West Brom game. And here he is now, sitting presiding over VAR and making the same decisions to the same detriment in a different capacity.
Yeah,
yep.
So
fuming. And if we didn't have those bad decisions given, and if you take it as granted that it's not overturnable, the first penalty, then it's 0-0 at half time, and if the second half plays out the same way as it did based on the first half, we're 1-0 up through Trossard.
Absolutely. But all things aside, for me, I did not go to the game live, but I did watch the whole game.
Game
of the day.
The full replay, yeah.
And for me, it was a high quality Premier League game between two high quality sides.
Yeah. That's not.
It was a very good game. If you were neutral, you were looking at that game, it was a fantastic game. Both sides were playing high quality football, in my opinion. And which is a good thing for Brighton.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure that was praised enough. That was a really good game. It was a game of chess, then it was a game spoiled by decisions, then it was a second half of differences and different intrigues. Yeah. Corny, would you go along with that? The City game, poor decisions cost us?
Yeah, you can say that they weren't best in line with what we'd have hoped for. I think the Haaland shove was borderline. Webster made it look a little bit weak, but some would call it a foul, some would call it get on with it. The penalty was pathetic. Blatantly kicked his leg out to try and win a foul. If anything, he's fouled Dunk by kicking it.
With the push though, I mean he pushed Dunk later on and it was a clear foul given later on. So why wasn't that given as a foul?
Well, you'd say the same, but
Webster was put off his balance. You can't do anything about that.
But I feel like Webster was already off balance trying to recover it anyway. I feel like Webster in that position was vulnerable and taken advantage of.
If he stood up, it would have been a foul the other way.
Yeah, exactly. I think if it's Welbeck against, I don't know, Laporte, it's always going to be a foul, but that's just big,
Welbeck
big team mentality.
Man United defenders, for example, yeah. Yeah, it's selective thinking, selective judgment, isn't it? But anyway, there we go. On to today. Boos have been mentioned already on the podcast.
Fucking yes. Boo!
The Chelsea game. We're playing our old friends Chelsea, aren't we? A team I can't stand anyway.
Nope.
They've asset stripped everybody out of the club, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think the tea lady works for them now as well.
Yes. They're nicking our taps today as well, by the way, just in case.
They're nicking our what?
Our taps, shower taps, everything. All gone, changing room.
Yeah?
Everything, yeah.
Fuckers. I heard the roads have been nicked as well.
So, even the stewards.
Your thoughts on today? Obviously, we want to dick them because they're Chelsea. We want to dick them because of what Chelsea have done.
Yeah.
Are we going to dick them and are you going to boo?
Yes, firstly, I will boo. I wasn't going to, but after the recent announcement that they're coming after our head of recruitment, I didn't mind Potter going and taking his backroom staff. He's done a job with them. But
yeah.
Coming back for a second round of retrievals and trying to take the rest of it takes the piss a little bit. And that's my level there.
Exactly.
In regards to today, I think we will turn up, but I still think we won't do enough.
Yeah.
I think they'll be just as fired up to try and make sure that they get us a good beating, but we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you on most aspects. We could get a draw if we're really, really on it, but who knows. But I'm going to be booing as well, because I think Win Stanley's the tipping point.
Yeah, definitely. We have to start finishing. If we're going to have any chance, we've got to start putting our chances away. We can't rely
on...
I mean, Trossard's the only person to have scored under Zerbi 4 goals in 4 games.
Yeah.
I mean...
I'm happy if he carries on doing that.
I've no complaints
at all. The goals today, fine.
At the same time, it's been poor round ever since he's taken over. We probably could have scored 10.
Yeah.
So that's the changing point.
Wedgie, are you going to be booing today?
No.
No. Are you going to be applauding?
No.
Neutral, I like it. Any further comments?
No, my view is football is management life in fast forward. It happens quickly. Yeah, he gave us 2.5 years. That is the equivalent of 10 years in normal management life that we're all in. 10 years is pretty bloody loyal. So to me, where we finished compared to where we started is a damn good place. I don't think you can boo somebody who's done that much. We're obviously not happy he's taken resources away, but people know that happens in football. And if you listen to the Bloom and Barber interviews, they've identified the top 25 jobs in the club, and they always have at least one stroke two replacements for every single role. And that makes sense. That's football done properly. So I accept some people will boo him today, and fair play, get on with it, enjoy it. But from where we started under him to where we finished... Can't argue with that.
Fair play.
He's ended up in the right place for him. He's a talented man.
He did take us to our highest ever finish, and we were on high when he left.
He did.
There is that as well. Yeah, fair point.
I think we need to remember what Houghton Ball was like. It wasn't great, you know. He transformed us into something that was exciting. You know, fair play. He was on the up and up. He was always going to go. He's gone.
I think whatever happens, the important thing is if we can get a result today. Whatever that means to whoever, we need to get a result because of De Zerbi, don't we?
We do need to get
four, a result. 4 games without a win.
In order to get a result, I think we're going to need to show some dexterity on the pitch.
Yeah.
What seems to be happening with De Zerbi is that he has one idea, he has one method, and he keeps ploughing that method. Whereas under Potter, we would make 6 or 7 fundamental tactical changes in 90 minutes. And that's not happening so much. So I'd like to think the players are working with De Zerbi to try and get more changes made real time to influence the outcome of the game.
That is the worry, isn't it? De Zerbi, we haven't seen 3, 4, 5 dimensionality to his game yet. That's the difference at the moment. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it seems to be a footballing philosophy, a footballing idea, which the players are becoming slaves to, which is all heavily possession based. They're possibly a little bit frightened of giving away possession of the ball because De Zerbi thinks possession is absolutely everything. So that means they take less risks on the pitch, there's less long ball, there's more slow build, short passing, which means the opposition can form up into a nice 6-3-1, ready to just... And that's why we're having to take pot shots from miles out or we're just snuffed out.
Yeah.
And you'll have enough video analysis to be able to work out... that we've got to be more dynamic. We've got to play more 45-yard diagonal balls to play into the space that is behind them. And I mean, it'll be interesting. You know, we know everything about what Potter will do. Potter will certainly know everything about what we are capable of doing. So it could go any way. It wouldn't surprise me if it was low scoring, but equally, if they got their noses ahead, you know, where's it
going
to end
up? I'm going 1-1.
I'm going 1-2, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Alan? You're going
Alan,
one. You're going 1-2 as well, aren't you?
I'm always an optimistic person.
We are on our ninth beers.
Yeah, I'm going to fall off with the sharing. I'm going to go for 3-1 Brighton.
3-1 Brighton, I like it. All right,
I'm going to be optimistic.
More pre-match in a moment. Cheers. Right.
Play Gilmore.
Have
a smooth firm rock primer.
Exactly, Chris, exactly.
That's what I've been saying all season.
Gilmore should be playing this game.
Gilmore.
Lallana is up top, guys. Lallana's up top. That famous finisher, Lallana, is up top.
That goal scoring legend.
It's phase 2 of the podcast. Chris, Your thoughts pre-match? How are you feeling? I haven't seen the team.
Just change the team. Just do something different. We've tried to do a lot with the same team that he inherited from Potter, but he's not done a lot, so change it. I'd rather us try something new, try something different, but get one good new performance out of it and lose than get a point. At this stage in the season, yeah, I'd rather see us do something different. Play Gilmore with alongside Cassiano, centre of the park, put McAllister back up as a number 10. He's the fastest player to turning the ball over. What you got to do? Here it goes.
Spot on, Chris. Spot on. And also, we've got the 500 miles song as well we could sing to him. There is that too. Fairly Gilmore, Fairly Gilmore, Fairly Gilmore, Fairly Gilmore. La, 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 la.
And also, Colwell needs to be inside now as well.
Yeah. Registers. It's got to be for this game, of course, as you know, but yeah. After that, though, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, he can't play for this.
Worrying times, but, you know, when you've seen teams that you've thought, no, I'm really not keen here, quite often that's worked out well, hasn't it, in the past?
It has.
Recent history of the Albion.
Yeah, I just don't, yeah. I'd rather see Sisko on the team sheet or Ferguson on the team sheet up front.
But and Ciso and Sarmiento are massive talents.
We should
be getting them involved in this game.
Mittema's playing.
Starting.
Oh,
yeah, I missed that. Mittema is playing. Oh, brilliant. He's starting.
And Lamptey's on the bench.
Which is only his second start after the Forest Green League Cup match.
Yeah.
Which we were at, Alan, weren't we?
Absolutely, yeah.
Bernard! He's still got his shorts pulled up too high, by the way. I've been watching him. Anyway, Mittema being a big plus. That's going to give them some pressure down that right side of their defence, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. Obviously, De Zerbi, he's always going to try and outthink the coach, and obviously, this is probably the most difficult game for the home for De Zerbi to outthink, because Graham Potter knows the players and knows the formation and knows how to to stifle. So he's got to do something different. Whether the people like Welbeck, for example, I'm not sure whether he's injured. Is he on the subs bench? I'm not sure.
Not sure. We could check that while we're chatting. But in terms of the overall picture...
Welbeck's not even on the subs bench.
Yeah, so
there's obviously a problem.
Either that or he needs a full rest.
Yeah.
Just need a rest. He's full game.
So, for me today, obviously I want to win, obviously. But normally, if we win today, we've walked away, which is usually a good place for us to go.
Happy hunting grounds.
And then we've got Villa at home, which they're not doing particularly well. We've got a chance. I'm always an optimistic person. We could be 9 points. We could,
24 points.
Before the World Cup, we could be on 24 points, which is absolutely fantastic.
And then we win the World Cup, Alan. Oh, hang on. No, we're getting a bit too carried away.
Yeah. But that's the way I've got to think about it. So today's a little bit of an interesting game.
All right, yeah. Well, let's see how it goes. I think it's going to be a lively reception for Graham Potter.
Yeah, I'm not
sure. Who's booing what and why is going to be the question, isn't
it? I think the problem is, I'm not going to boo him to start with, but obviously as the game progresses, if things are not going our way, then I'm going to get more and more angry.
Yeah. Take it all out on him, yeah.
But for me, it's one of those things that...
Well, he has upset the rhythm, hasn't he? Whatever happens,
it has.
We would have had more points with him staying in position for the rest of the season.
You never know.
Versus a change, surely.
Yeah, maybe. But we'll see. We'll see how things evolve. I've got a feeling about deserving. He's got something about him.
Yeah.
And it could actually be an upgrade to Potter.
Yeah. In the long term? Let's hope so.
Yeah, we just got to see how it goes. But I think long term, I've got a good feeling about him.
Yeah, so do I. I love a bit of De Zerbi. Let's see how it goes today, Alan.
Yep, cheers.
Speak to you after the game.
Cheers, mate.
Right, Kevin, I'm doing a bit of podcast stuff here. Welcome to the Chelsea game. Lots of booing going on, isn't there?
There is.
Are they booing the kick? Because it's very, very shit, isn't it?
It's awful. It looks like they're dressed in Lion King onesies. That's all I can really relate that to.
It's awful.
It's, I don't know. I don't think you can begrudge Potter maybe going to Chelsea. So I'm not really booing him.
Do you reckon a lot of the boos are just to do with Chelsea themselves rather than... any of the individuals that have left Brighton?
I think so, yeah. I mean...
Because they are fucking pissing me off. I don't know about you.
Yeah. They look like they're going to get Win Stanley as well. All down to money. I don't know. You could say the individuals, should stand firm and say no. But
if someone offered you £12 million a year to do a job, you'd take it, wouldn't you? So you can't really blame him. But yeah, Chelsea is a club. I'm not quite sure how they want to suddenly get from, you know, buying anything with Russian money to suddenly becoming, you know, wanting to be, develop everything from grassroots level.
Exactly.
You know, without having anything themselves in place. I really don't know.
Yeah.
There was that story, I don't know if it's true, their owner, it was interfering with team selection, which is part of the reason that Tuchel sort of got the boot, so to speak. But he produced, I think it was a 4-4-3 formation. Just illustrated that he didn't have a fucking clue about soccer. Because, you know, the goalkeeper wasn't involved. So, there's a goal. And it,
fucking hell. Tried to chip the goalie.
I think it's a whole ethic of the club, really. And, you know, Bruno and his... sorry, not Bruno. Potter and his team may be fair dues. Bruno and the goalkeeping coach, I don't know, maybe they should have stood firm. I don't think they're getting that much more money, are they, than they were down
there? I don't know.
Just
don't
be nice
know.
Someone to say no.
Because here,
I've started a job here and I want to finish it, really. I guess... You just have to accept that's the world we live in, and the fact that, you know, Brighton are a smallish club, and they're never going to get into the, you know, financially into the big
league. Well, this is the chasm, isn't it? So
they're always going to be subject to picking off the best players.
This is what's so frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listen to this, though, Kevin.
It's a great start from Brighton.
I think the Albion are up for this. Two chances already, tipped over. We had some corners and the crowd are up for it. And Chelsea in a horrendous away kit are trying to break out from the back.
Matoma. Yes.
Matoma. While we were chatting, we've gone 1-0 up, Kevin. Can we do this again? Trossard against the big club. Who knew? John, I've got John to my right. John, you've been with me for a few years here in the West Upper. How was that for you?
Brilliant.
What are your favourite moments?
Yeah, it was. Especially the crowd. The roar.
Come on! Have that, Potter.
And it stuffed that Potter up. Step him up.
So you're not a Potter fan then, John?
No one. I used to.
You booed him, didn't you?
I used to be, but not now. Look what he's done.
How much of that is that you don't like Chelsea as well? Because I can't fucking stand them, I have to say.
I don't like Chelsea either. Yeah.
Is that about 50% of it, or 30% of it, or 70% of it? How much of it is about Chelsea? How much of it is about Potter and co?
100%. Definitely 100%.
100% Potter?
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah.
What a lively game. I knew this was going to be lively. I didn't think it would be this lively. We scored after, what was it? 5 or 6 minutes, wasn't it? 5 minutes, I think. Chelsea are in our half with a free kick. What a game. What a start. What an atmosphere.
won a free kick on halfway. You're just a shit Brighton of Albion is the main song. Chalky, are you loving this? We're doing a podcast.
I'm loving it. Hating Cucurella, but loving the atmosphere.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Fantastic. John, in between us, is calling Graham Potter a snake.
And how old is John?
Oh, 73.
It's getting hot, isn't it? Come on, Paul. I've not had you on before. Paul, my old mate from the school days. Sitting a row behind me in the West Stand Upper. Your first words on the podcast. What are they?
Brilliant start, this, mate. Unbelievable. We're well up for it.
Yeah. Eddie, do you want to add to that as well?
Yeah, I'm not too sure about the booing, because I think that both of them have done very well for us.
Yeah.
So why boo?
Agreed, yeah. But I'm enjoying the whole pantomime thing, though. Kevin, we're 2-0 up. We're looking at the replay, which has been shown. Headed on to the crossbar and in. Who scored it? I couldn't see. This is absolutely fucking perfect, isn't it? Potter comes back to the Amex and he's 2-0 down. He's 2-0 down on 14 minutes. This is the dream, isn't it? We're too long in the tooth to know that that may not be the way it finishes, but we can enjoy this. Listen to this as well.
Sacked in the morning!
You get sacked in the morning! Sacked in the morning! Ha ha! This is brilliant. Brilliant. I'll take any kind of goal. So we had two goals. Who scored so far? Trossard and an own goal.
And one other. They're too embarrassed to announce them.
And we've got a corner.
Silver.
They've threatened here and there, haven't they? They've been okay, but yeah. It's one of those games where you feel it's going our way, don't you? So far.
A little bit of luck on the defensive front. Yeah. Maybe you're getting all luck in one game, but
here we go.
They're working on.
Gross for the corner.
Oh!
It's back on him. Right, I've just had a quick look, and it appears that we are 3-0 up on Chelsea. Kevin. They keep scoring against themselves, don't they?
When did we sign OG? He's a tremendous player.
Brilliant player.
Brilliant player.
Our best player.
Yeah, best player, yeah. I mean,
this is fucking brilliant. We're on the attack again, 3-0 up. Cucurella is getting shit like you wouldn't believe. For everything he does wrong or not. Listen to this. And for all those cocky arseholes on trains down to Brighton today, up yours, you arseholes. We're 3-0 up on you. Take it or leave it. What an atmosphere, what a game, John. Are you enjoying this?
It's the best game I've seen so far.
And the Amex?
Yeah.
In what, 9 years of coming? 10 years?
It must be 9 years, yeah.
Graham Potter's getting sacked in the morning, according to this.
That's
a bit harsh after one defeat in 10 or 11 games. However, his team is getting battered today, isn't it? We've deserved this too, haven't we?
Once a snake, always a snake.
Oh, cutting. But I do think it's a mixture of we deserve this in terms of how we played, and also the fact that it's just running our way, isn't it? It is running our way. There's been a couple of times.
Because Graham Potter's here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I hope he's enjoying this because we are. Okay, Kevin.
They scored really early in the second half. It made us a little bit more nervous. 3-1 at school.
Nervous, wasn't it?
On 54 minutes. Are you nervous?
I am a little nervous, I have to confess. I think we need to steady the ship in the next 10 minutes or so. Just get a hold of the ball.
If we can steer them out for another 10, we should be okay, shouldn't we?
A bit more direct.
I've got a feeling we've got another goal in us. But not before they score.
Yeah. Just need to get hold of the ball and keep it for a little bit, really.
Yeah.
They are getting the upper hand. They still look a bit disjointed, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
For what they are. But obviously they've got individual talent there. Just got to stick together at a team.
They're starting to make a bit of noise as well, which is unusual. Yeah. We're not hearing it at all for the first 52 minutes.
The extra couple of Fosters at half time probably helped.
Yeah. And here we are.
Drowning their sorrows.
Yeah. And we got a throw in. 3-1 up, and we've got a shot on goal. Blocked. Second phase, here we go. On the right wing, Solly. Two men on him. One of them's Kikaret. Oh, he's not mixed him. But the ball across was poor. Mende, the half-time substitute goalkeeper, collects it. Mende.
Oh, Mende. It's Mende. They've got another goalkeeper, haven't they? No, he's the one. He took over and he was number one for a while.
And then Kepa came in. And he got turned into some superhuman goalkeeper, thanks to Ben Roberts. Hey! What a shit shot at goal that was. Well, here we go, John. You're sitting next to me. We've spent several years together. We had some great times. 3-1 up against Chelsea. 77 minutes gone. Not too bad. I've got a funny feeling we're going to score here. What do you think? We got a corner,
and very touchy.
Let's find out. Here we go. No, it's going nowhere.
No way.
But we're still on the attack on the left side now. Estupiñán with a cross back in. Oh, the header's gone nowhere. No. And we want a throw in. No, they've given it to Chelsea. Unfucking believable. 78 minutes gone. By the way, Kukurea has come off to a resounding load of boos. Who's coming on here, John? Do you know?
No.
I think Mount's coming off, I think. They've had two yellow cards, by the way. I think it is. Pulisic is off. This ref hasn't been too bad, has he? A couple of bad mistakes, but he's been okay.
Yeah.
Better than average. At least we can say that. So they've got a throw in. Chibo, a few steps up from us, is shouting Palace reject. I'm sure that's at a Gallagher. And we might be about to dispossess them. No, the referee, in his soft-hearted bullshit, has given them a free kick from nothing. And here we go. Dunk trying to get the ball. Lamptey trying to get the ball. So Chelsea building from the back, trying to get into our half.
Long ball forwards. Good touch. But Lewis Dunk is on the case. Lamptey, he shimmies, he shakes, he gets the ball forwards. They fake a dive and win the free kick. Surprise, surprise. So, 80 minutes gone. 3-1 up the Albion. Should be about 3-0, 4-0. Absolutely dominated the match. They're pushing the ball around, trying to do something. And we've got, what is it, 10 minutes, John? Plus stoppages.
10 minutes to go.
So, as long as we don't concede in the next 2 or 3 minutes, I think it's job done.
You're after a job
with
Sky, are you?
I might have a job with Sky. Sky, are you listening? I'm interested. Right, well, there's 5 minutes to go, plus stoppage time, and we got a sub. Crossard coming off. And we got Jeremy Sarmiento coming on. Oh, here we go. Oh, Jeremy Sarmiento.
Yeah, why
is it
empty? 83 minutes. They started
leaking out. I know. Chelsea fans, punch the wankers.
Arsenal
similar. Chelsea at once. Get away! He had his fucking arms about 3 feet ahead of him. Unbelievable. It's a foul throw all day long. And if Chelsea score, they're not pulling that back. No chance at all.
Taylor!
Shook hands with him there, Estepinha. He shook hands with Potter. Respect. Respect in adversity. Great touch from Sarmiento. Good skill. The referee has given a ridiculous decision. Sarmiento and Trossard had the better of the man there. And he didn't give it. He's given a free kick to them. Absolute disgrace. Talking for the podcast. Final words. We're coming into the 90th minute. In fact, we're in the 90th minute. We've battered them, haven't we? We've been brilliant.
be fair, it is the best home game of the season, without doubt. The crowd are behind the Albion, everyone's up for it, and we played unreal.
Yeah, and we thoroughly deserve it, don't we?
Deserve it 100%.
3-1's probably about right, to be fair.
To be fair, first 20 minutes, you should have been 3-0 up, 4-0 up even. And yeah, they come back into it, yeah, but at the moment, 3-1, fair result.
The beauty is, they've been Chelsea. They haven't been a shadow of themselves.
No.
They've been Chelsea.
Yeah,
maybe not the best version of themselves, but they've been all right.
But Graham Potter can't beat Graham Potter's football.
He can't beat Potterball.
Can't beat
Potterball. Love it. Fucking hell! A minute after stopping recording, we've fucking gone 4-1 up. 4-1.
Bittersweet revenge. Fucking
have it, have that, Potter!
Have it!
Oh, Taylor! Oh,
and that's after they gave us a shit decision.
Are they checking?
They might be. It might have been offside or something.
Oh,
yeah. It's been given. It's getting popular. I'm not a fan of this.
It's a good kick out. Alex
Stages. Falling up, Chalky, right, on Chelsea.
I love his style of play, though. It's,
yeah, it's open.
It's quicker than Potter's.
Yeah, there's no messing about, is there? And we've been overdue this win. Also, Chelsea, the only team we've not beaten in this division. Here, this side. Here, here, this side, this side. Sarmiento on the ball, on the left side. He's got Purvis on the overlap. He's come inside. Sarmiento wants it. He's got the skills. Oh no. Too wide, too wide. Cross come shot. But we're falling up. The doctor ordered, huh? In Brighton.
Okay, it's post-match. We're in the North Stand concourse, and we've beaten Chelsea. I believe it's 4. Chris, we'll just check. 4-1. 4-1. Did you enjoy that?
Yes, it was absolutely brilliant to do it against the top six side in Burstall Thomas. To turn it on, statement of me for deserving, substitutions came on, positive impacts, all round, awesome game. Made them look like Muppets.
And Matt, you sit a couple of seats away from me in the West Stand upper. You've been there for several years, along with me, suffering. So many days and nights of trauma, and it's been horrible. However, you were there today, and we won 4-1 against Chelsea. Are you feeling okay about that?
Well, to beat Chelsea, one of their teams we hadn't yet beaten, and not just to beat Chelsea, but to beat Potter's Chelsea, it just makes you feel... Just makes you feel a bit satisfied, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Very satisfying. Not only beat them, but many outplay them. And then, yeah, sure, they came at us at the second half, but we held firm, we were defensively good, and then we got them on the break again. And what more do you want? Deserving first win, should have been sooner, but my God, what a win.
We did brilliant, didn't we? 4-1 win. What amazing score, amazing scoreline. What a day.
To a man, we beat them physically, out-fought them every step of the way. Sanchez, a little bit nervy in the second half, a couple of saves to make. But overall, I mean, yeah, if I was a Chelsea fan, not that we heard them, because I only heard them for their goal.
Oh, they were terrible,
Where were they?
I mean, shit fans.
Yeah, it's just really surprising. They just seem to be overawed by the situation. They didn't seem to understand what this game meant to Brighton and to Brighton fans in particular. Didn't understand. This was not just a game, this was a statement. Line on the sand, line under Potter going. Deserve's got his first win and a big win. That's it.
Well, there we go, Matt. That's the thing, isn't it? It was a statement.
Yeah, it was. And just get that first win against... deserving his first win, and it happened to be against Potter, against Chelsea. It just makes it feel that much better, that much more satisfying.
Fantastic scenes. I've absolutely loved it. I'm going to impose myself on Mr. Townsend as well. Just for a final word... post-match on the match, we've just beaten Chelsea 4-1, David. How do you feel about that?
Well, I didn't see that one coming. Fantastic performance, a wonderful first half performance, and I think to a man they were superb today. Difficult to pick out a man of the match, I thought. But I kind of say that would have got my vote, personally. McAllister.
Yeah. Same here.
Dunk, all superb, but they were all superb. And really encouraging to see Enciso come on and attack with pace and confidence.
Yeah. We battered Chelsea 4-1.
Yeah.
This is insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy days.
Yeah. Well, the first win had to come for the Derby. I'm so pleased for him that it came against Chelsea.
Yeah. What's not to like about it? There was a few animosity-based reaction, shall we say.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that? Do you think it was about right? You got the measure right, or was it a bit over the top?
Well, I wasn't booing, but I wasn't clapping them either, so, you know, but I thought it really contributed to the atmosphere and helped get us up for the match. So I thought the players were so up for it. Every one of them was up for it. And I think the hostile reaction actually probably helped us in that sense, you know.
Yeah. It doesn't always go that way, but I think it did today.
Yeah. So fair play. Even the East End was making a noise, which is unusual.
Yeah. Okay, final word back to Chris. West Stand upper with me. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, just that game had everything. It just felt very important that we draw a line underneath all the Potter stuff, everything, and we now go on and make our own way. And I think we can. I mean, Cisco coming on, Sarmiento coming on, all those young players, we now know that they can cut the mustard for us. They come in, work so hard, Cisco looks awesome when he came on. It'll be great. Future's bright, future's blue and white.
Yes.
That's what it is.
The future is brighter.
Yeah.
There we go. Chris, thank you very much. We'll speak to you next time.
Indeed.
So, here we go. I'm now with the gent, Raymond Wright. Over to you, sir.
Well, Russell, I must say I woke up this morning not quite sure what would happen. First half, best attacking performance possibly that we've seen at the Amex, I think, in the Premier League ever. That includes our first stint under Mullery and Bailey. I think it was just fantastic. Had we scored five or six goals first half, wouldn't have flattered us. I mean, if De Zerbi's going to serve up attacking football like that, that's great. My only comment is the depth in the squad was very thin when we had about three or four under 21 players there. Really thought we played well. Casillas, McAllister, fantastic. We played well off the ball the second half when Chelsea came back, but it was just superb and, you know, great. And I'm so pleased to serve everyone. The Potter Amex curse, which we've experienced for the last three seasons, struck again, and it was, and the noise, the support, is the best I've ever heard. I've never heard it so good consistently. And the crowd were really up for it.
That's got to be a reaction to the whole Potter thing, isn't it?
I think it was, but in which case, can Graham come every week that we're playing, and so we can get the same reaction? I mean, if the crowd can do that every single week, we'll become a very intimidating place to come to. And we won't just beat necessarily Chelsea 4-1, we'll beat a lot of other teams by that sort of score. So I thought very good. Sanchez played well, really good save, important saves at important times. I just thought that's how football should be, and I really enjoyed it. High energy, high tempo, and the first half, I suspect the passing accuracy stats would be very good. Our accuracy passing wise fell off second half, but I just thought, great. My man of the match, I think by a whisker, Casillas, Gallagher second, and Sanchez third. And Trossard, Trossard scored again, didn't he?
Well, yes, so exactly.
I have to say more.
I'd probably go with Caicedo as my man of the match. Matt, your man of the match, and what do you think of the game?
The game was unbelievable. I mean, to score four against Chelsea, top six team. Same man of the match. Yeah, Caicedo works for me. Maybe March. March was impressive down the wing again.
I thought it was great. Great day out. Sensational days, moments, and well, what can I say apart from get in?
We beat them 4-1. We beat them 4-1, Matt. Yes.
What a game.
Woohoo! Right, Evening Star post-match. We had quite a few beers. I'm with the discerning gentleman that is Mr. Alan Wares.
I am bloody discerning. I really am. I'm the most discerning gentleman Brighton has ever produced.
Tell me about what you think today was all about. The Chelsea game.
Schadenfreude. Listen, the whole booing thing I was a little bit uncomfortable with. I've got no problem with Cucurella. He behaved like an absolute arsehole. The whole thing with Graham Potter, I think it's possible that he just didn't realise how green the grass is on this side of the fence, assuming it was green on the other side. And it surely is. Absolutely. He also gets to realise that given that Bowley is trying to create a sustainable football club by bringing in the likes of Potter and all his wizards, and bringing in players that are not going to cost a fortune, that will have access to the pathway. Chelsea has a lot of young kids and they never get an opportunity. They're foisted out across Europe or across Britain, whereas Graham Potter is more likely to give them the opportunity. They'll be on that pathway a lot earlier. But you get to realise that because Chelsea, as one of the big six clubs, Chelsea, like the other five, are expected to have their players up and ready. They're expected to be as good as they can be in order to slot into their first team. Whereas the likes of the Albion, we have to nurture our players in order to make them good. Yeah. And it's all about the pathway and making sure the nurturing is correct. So with Chelsea, they're expected to do that. Now, with bringing Potter in, it's going to be a slightly different thing, and Chelsea fans have to be a little bit patient. However, this is a scenario we, as Brighton and Hove Albion, are used to. So when it comes to Brighton against Chelsea, or rather Brighton against Brighton and Hove Albion Old Boys, you get to realise what is going on, that we have played against the Chelsea side who probably are operating at their maximum because they are supposedly the best players, whereas our players, because they have had different managers, and I include Graham Potter but also include Roberto De Zerbi, these players are still on their improving curve, and Chelsea have come unstuck against the side which, where the away manager seems to know or is probably knowledgeable of how we're going to play, or at least 90% of what we're going to play, has had a nasty surprise. And De Zerbi has actually put his mark down already. In that sense, we're probably playing Chelsea at the right time. Give it till after the World Cup, where a lot of Chelsea players are going to the World Cup, but not so many Brighton players are going to. During that time, between that mid-November and the end of December, De Zerbi will all be able to operate, because we don't have any matches, an awful lot more time to put his ideas down. So come Boxing Day, when we're away at Southampton, expect to see another Albion again, where De Zerbi's ideas are probably closer to being at their fullest. This is a mini close season we've got coming up. So the club, I previously suggested, was marking time until today, where we give those Chelsea bastards a good hiding. It's not just the fact we've beaten a top six side, it's beaten a top six side that felt that they could rip us to shreds, treat us with impunity like a bulldog, a sadistic bulldog would with a toy cat, and rip us to shreds. And we've turned our back on them and said, we're having you. And we did. And it's not about whether Chelsea played well or Potter got his tactics right. We were the better players on the day. We defended well, we attacked well, and we showed the footballing world that there is life post-Potter. Potter is not the issue here. This is about Chelsea's behaviour. This is why I didn't boo Potter. I didn't boo Billy Reid, Bruno Salter, Ben Roberts. I fully respect what they've done for this club. I have disdain and contempt for the way that Chelsea behave, thinking that we are their feeder club.
Yeah.
And that's what makes today's game so much more beautiful. The result was just karma.
Yeah. No, I think you've hit the nail on the head, and I totally agree with you.
Thank you, darling.
Well, we're here for that, aren't we? But you're right, the degree of disdain, that arrogance, that's why I was so joyful about the fact we've beaten them 4-1.
Rewind to 2016, Leicester City winning the Football League, the Premier League.
Yeah.
And you had the likes, the reaction across the big clubs across Europe, yeah, especially the Agnelli family that own Juventus.
Yeah.
Who are Leicester City? What have they done? They don't bring money in.
The arrogance is
the arrogance
off the scale,
is there,
isn't it? It's off
and
the scale.
The big six almost like got their sort of got finger wagged to say, make sure this doesn't happen again. So here's Brighton challenging, having the audacity to challenge the top six.
And Barcelona failed to qualify again for the Champions League.
Absolutely.
This is exactly what we're talking about, isn't it?
So what's happened in the top six have closed ranks. And they've said, right, Chelsea, you do this. Tear that club apart. Without realising that actually for everything that you tear apart, we've already got a ready-made replacement. We've already got a ready-made replacement for Paul Winstanley, should he ever go to Chelsea. It might be someone within De Zerbi's ranks, it might be someone else that the club has already got his eye on. But you try and rip the heart out of us, we're shit in your milk.
Because we're too deeply embedded, aren't we?
We've had to adapt our philosophy, but it's the correct philosophy in order to make this as sustainable a football club as possible. We're kind of understood to be a very well-run football club. We don't have nutters. We have Tony Bloom at the helm, who is himself intelligent to know what he doesn't know, and that's where his other people are.
Yeah.
That's where the likes, you've got Paul Barber come in, and you have Paul Winstanley, and once upon a time you had David Ashworth, now you've got David Weir. And the systems are in place. If we lose Paul Winstanley, we don't lose just Paul Winstanley, but the systems that he's put in place remain with us.
Yeah.
This is not about the people, this is about the systems. And making sure that the people who come in to replace those people are the right ones. This is where we got Roberto De Zerbi. We've seen a small change in those past 5-6 games that he's been the manager, but not a gear crunch.
Yeah.
Not a complete change. The biggest change we ever had was between Russell Slade and Gus Poyet. Roberto De Zerbi is, I'd like to think, will become eventually Potter Plus.
But hopefully so.
But the point is that other clubs are looking to see what we're doing, and you think, how is this bottom six club so gratuitously punching above its weight? And it's just because whatever we do, we probably do it right.
The audacity we've got to dare to be punchy. Andy, but at this point, let's bring Andy in as well. Andy Bass, friend of the show, friend of Albion Moore as well, of course.
Indeed.
We were just talking with Alan there about Chelsea and about the Big Six and all that stuff. I absolutely fucking loved the fact we stuck it to those guys today. 4-1 today.
Just the four
goals. But is it more than that, though? Obviously, that's fucking brilliant, but is there more to it than that?
I think there is more to it than that. I think the circumstances surrounding this game, the big media narrative that was going around that we should all be grateful for Graham Potter and that everybody, we should be doffing our caps on his return, is utter bollocks.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed not doffing my cap to him. Yeah.
My cap remained undoffed throughout the
entire game.
Mine was still in my pocket.
Throughout the entire game. And it was, and I tell you what I really enjoyed was, like, the players exhibited the same feelings that we did. It's like, we're in the stands, we're shouting, we're booing, we're doing whatever we do, yada yada. But I tell you what counted was the players went at Chelsea from minute one.
Yes.
There was no respite.
Yeah.
They were at them, and Chelsea couldn't handle it. I think they were expecting it a little bit, because Potter's not an idiot. He knew there'd be a reaction. But I think they were genuinely surprised. Oh. I think they were genuinely surprised at how intense our play was. It was absolutely fantastic. I loved it from the players, and I loved that we got that from the players, because, like, the players were us. They were like
we were as one today.
They were like the fans today. They were as pissed off and annoyed as we were. They felt the desertion, the betrayal.
It was a betrayal.
Betrayal, desertion, whatever you want to call it. But yes, the players felt it. They turned up on Thursday after the Leicester game, and then, like, everybody else had buggered off, and they didn't like it. It's like they turned up for work. Everybody else wasn't there. They had to make do, amend, and they didn't know what was going on. And they were just thinking, well, hang on a minute, how can you leave us like this? And I tell you what, they showed them what a mistake it was.
Absolutely.
They showed them.
Graham Potter should have stayed at a big club.
I'm surprised that song, maybe it got a song, I don't know, but I didn't hear
it. The song that I really loved, and it was sung at the end, in the 90th minute, and I think it might have been before the fourth goal went in, was the, what's it called, Seven Nation, Oh Roberto Di Zerbi. He loved that.
Yeah, he really engaged
with it. Notwithstanding that, with the first goal... Right. He got told off by the referee for how far he came onto the pitch to celebrate.
You know. These are all too
boring. No, it was great. And it was a brilliant... I'm so pleased with Di Zerbi. I was at City on...
I went to
City last Saturday, and I thought we played really well. That second half was exceptional. And we deserved a lot more out of that game than we did get. But our performance made the journey home a lot easier, because I was really pleased with it, and I just thought, yeah, you know what, we did ourselves proud today. And I tell you what, they really did themselves proud today, and that we've been booed out, and it's almost worth not winning those first five games so that we could get that first win for Di Zerbi today.
Thank you. Very
against Potter, and
I enjoyed your podcast.
And like, yeah, it's just.
Which one did you listen to?
Graham Potter.
They're still recording.
Brilliant manager, absolutely brilliant manager for us. The reason why we feel so viscerally about it is because he was so good, and what he had done to rebuild this club over like the last 3 years, and the fact that he just ripped it away in 4 days, and like, you know, he left with more than...
You felt real passionate about this matter, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I absolutely...
This wasn't just, fuck him. Absolutely sickened.
Yeah. And I think he showed a lack of faith in himself.
Can you hold my beer?
Oh, yeah. I think he showed a lack of faith in himself, because I think whatever he had done with us this year, he would have been picking his next job. People wouldn't be phoning him up. He'd be choosing his next job. And the thing is, he just took the first one that came along.
Yeah, it does feel a bit... Yeah. Well, more or less, but it feels a bit cheap.
Can I just throw into that mix, given Chelsea's sort of kind of monthly attempt at ram raiding and our football club? The whisper is that, you know, the word is that it seems to be that Trossard may or may not be on his way. I think it depends on the nature of the World Cup that he has. He's putting himself in the shop window. Hopefully he can sign a new contract before he goes. I'm not convinced he will. But depends on... the fact that he's not a Belgium first 11 choice leads me to believe he's not going to make the impact that he feels he needs to. But if it is the case that Graham Potter comes sniffing around him, all I'd ever say to him is, do you really, really, really want to play for that shower of shit? Because they were bollocks. And there was nothing you could do. You'd have had to have put Steve Austin, Speedy Gonzalez, and Lindsay Wagner in there. And they still would have been cack.
$6 million, people. All that.
I love those references, but I actually thought Chelsea were quite good today. That's why I'm really...
Well, that's what's beautiful.
I'm really happy about today.
I agree with you. I don't think they were bad, were they?
I think Chelsea were the best team we've played today.
Yeah,
this season.
This is the beauty.
And we fucking spammed them 4-1. That was the best side we played at home.
They did what a lot of Graham Potter sides have done. In other words, absolutely cream themselves through the middle of any given midfield. And then they get to the edge of the area, and we didn't park the bus. They made a roadblock. And they ran out of ideas.
We didn't park the bus. Sanchez made some good saves. Yes. I thought he had a very good game today.
Oh, he was good.
The defence
worked hard. I thought Dunk, again, absolutely exemplary. Webster, I thought, had a good game, particularly bringing the ball forward.
You look at the number of players that we saw.
Estupiñán was blimmin' excellent.
He was. We saw off Raheem Sterling. We saw off Cucurella. We saw off Pulisic.
And Sterling, he was a danger the whole way through the game. You're worried about him, aren't you?
Yeah.
But we sorted him out.
And Webster stuck him in right
there. Sterling was not a factor. I was thinking, like, who is that 17 guy? I was like...
I only recognised it as him by the way he flapped his arms.
Havertz was very good.
Yes, he was.
For them.
They're a fucking good team.
Yeah,
they're a fucking good team.
Yeah,
and we beat them 4-1.
Havertz, Mount, they had good players. They were creating very good space. They were causing us problems. But
it's like Leicester.
Well, this is about a lot of the top teams. The only ones that isn't woeful is Man City, and that's why they're top of the table.
And I know we had two run goals in our favour today. But I tell you what, we forced those. We forced those own goals.
And can I just point out how very Chelsea it was that they moaned their arses off about both of them.
Yeah.
About, you know, claiming offside, claiming...
Can't be offside if you put it in the net.
Exactly. Maybe habeas corpus. Yeah. You know, Channel 4, an earthquake, you know, Magna Carta. They can claim bloody anything.
Your boys took one hell of a beating.
Yes.
Well, it was brilliant. I mean, it was an absolutely great day today, and I think... I'm really pleased for Roberto Di Zerbi. I think he deserves the accolade he's going to get.
They'll be dancing in the streets of Donatello's tonight.
Well, you know, he's made an impact. He's come in. He's had to take over. He's had to take over. You know, admittedly a good team, but a team that had been rent asunder by. Pretty much the entire coaching staff leaving.
Saying rent to Sunday has definitely saved it after you said about Don Sellers. That was going the wrong way, but now you saved it. Your Shakespearean
and I'm so pleased for him, because I tell you what, I think he's done a good job so far.
Yeah.
I can see what he's trying to do with the team. I think he's still going to take the team a while to really get fully up to speed with what it is that he wants them to do, because he's asking him to do something quite difficult. That short, incisive passing game, ping, 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 ping. You've got to be able to. I mean, you need to be able to get the ball under straight away. It's like when you watch someone like City, they've got players that can do it. We don't have players that can do that right now. We can do it a bit, but not to that
this
high level.
This is what makes me think that we will be busy in January. There goes your beer. I need to buy you a new one.
I like that Di Zerbi is making these demands on these players, because if we want to be a higher level team, these are the things that we have to do to be a higher level team.
Yeah.
And the thing is that they're not easy to do. And
it's a fascinating period.
And we are slowly but surely picking it up. And I love the substitutions today. They were aggressive. They were substitutions that stretched the field. Just when like Chelsea thought they might be able to play themselves back in, because they got the early goal in the second half, we brought on quick forward players that meant that their defenders couldn't rush up. It's like, you know, we've got Enciso, got Sarmiento on there. It's like you've got to hang back. We stretched the field.
Thank you, sir.
Di Zerbi stretched the field with the substitutions, and Enciso almost created a goal as soon as he came on. He certainly created the fourth goal, just because all he does is go forward. It's like, I'm here, the ball's there, the goal's there, I'm going in that direction. I'm not going to go side to side, I'm not going to go backwards.
He is what I would call a textbook 1980s English footballer.
absolutely superb from Enciso, who just wants to make an impact. And it reminded me, ironically, of, like, you know, the only other time I've watched him really play for a long period of time was at Forest Green Rovers.
Yep.
Where that's all he did. I thought he basically carried our team for most of that game.
Particularly the first half.
He was just picked the ball up, and wherever the ball was, he was sniffing it out. Whereas like the rest of the team were, we're all right about this game. We're not really that bothered. He was bothered about it. He wanted to make an impact. He thought, I've got to make an impression. I'm new. I'm young. I'm not first choice. I've been given this opportunity. I've got to make the most of it. And I tell you what, he made the most of it at Forest Green. And it was noteworthy, I thought, the way that he played in that game.
but I actually watched.
And he did exactly the same thing today.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was closer to the touchline, and before he came on as a substitute, I mean, the coaching staff deserving and all the coaching staff were really geeing him up, hugging him, giving him words of encouragement before he went on the pitch. It was almost like they were really trying to pep him up for something. You know, these big moments to come on the pitch.
He might not be an immediate player for us right now, but I think once we start having to sell the other players that are going to get inevitably sold, then he's coming in, and then he's going to be the big player, and he's going to be the one that we have to try and keep hold of.
It's a beautiful paradox, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just think we're used to it now. We know how to deal with this, and it's annoying that we do. It's annoying that Tony's not in a position to say no at the moment, and it's frustrating for us as fans, but I see why he has to employ this policy right now, because all the while he's looking to recruit top quality talent into the club, and if you just say to top quality talent, I'm not letting you go anywhere, then they're not going to come. He's going to say no. If you get a really good offer, then I'm not going to like it. But and so we have to incrementally build up.
Yeah,
we have to incrementally build up year by year, and then we will if we do that, then we'll get in a position where we can say no, because we're a better offer than you.
That is
the challenge for Tony at the moment. He's as much as I hate to say it, he's not in a position to be able to say that, because Chelsea are a better offer. You know, they're in the Champions League. They're in the top four. You may stick your tongue out.
I'm vomiting here.
You may vomit, and to be honest, I share your nausea. But but being realistic, like short term wise, that's just the way it is, and I don't think that Tony gains anything out of like slamming the brakes on that sort of thing right now. We are probably, I would say, 3 or 4 seasons away from where we are able to say, no, you're staying. We're gonna do what those guys want to do.
This is a tantalising prospect.
But we have to stay in the game, and we do. And I thought, like we had Enciso and Sommie today, I thought we got a glimpse of the future. Maybe like 2 or 3 years down the line, they're going to be our main players rather than the guys who are our main players at the moment. So yeah, we can do that. We can do that in the future. It was just so brilliant, and I loved the fourth goal. I wanted that fourth goal.
So good.
I wanted the emphasis. I wanted the emphasis on the margin of victory. I wanted it to be 3 goals because we were better than them by that much. We earned it. They didn't earn anything. I thought Chelsea were good. I actually do think they were our best opponent that we faced. But I thought that was our best performance, and we were brilliant. We were brilliant. The passion, desire for the players, passion, desire for the fans, absolutely fantastic. Just absolutely amazing. I really am going to enjoy this win for quite some time.
I might do too, Andy. I might do too. And on that note, I think we should sign off.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely fucking brilliant today. 4-1 against Chelsea. We're in the Evening Star. Been a fantastic night. We're still drinking a few beers. Alan's got my pint over. He's got me another one.
I didn't know that. I did see that.
But there we go. So let's sign out. Stay or fall.
Up the Albion.
Up the Albion.
Sports Social Podcast Network.